We're starting this brand new series called Stretch Marks, and the goal of this series is simple. It's simply to expand your faith. We want you to have a faith expansion, just to expand your faith. We believe wholeheartedly that God wants you to grow in your relationship with Him. You're not intended to just remain at a plateau level in faith and trust in God. God wants you to expand in your faith, and so we called it Stretch Marks. We believe that it's stretch marks that God often uses to expand our faith. And so this is why we've decided to title it Stretch Marks. If you want to expand your faith in Jesus, you're going to have to be willing to get stretched. And this is going to be a lot of participation today, so you're going to have to stay with me. Tell somebody next to you, get ready to be stretched. Get ready to be stretched. Now, I can see some of your participation level already, and you're like, I'm not participating today. I'm just not going to do it. Then nudge that person if they didn't talk to you on the other side and say, get ready to be stretched. Get ready to be stretched. Get ready to be stretched. Anytime you want expansion, it'll cause tension. Expansion causes tension. Expansion causes tension. Think about it. If you know of a company or a business wants to expand and they want to get larger, they want to grow, then the people inside of the company are going to have to expand as well. Expansion causes tension. Tension is simply just the state of being stretched tight. So if you have people who are wanting to start this company and the company is supposed to grow, then the people working with inside the company oftentimes are going to get stretched tight, right? They're going to get pulled in multiple directions. Expansion causes tension. You think about a child who grows up, a person, an individual, and they're at a certain level in life, whether they're a toddler, they're an adolescent, an adult, right? We're always kind of moving this idea of expanding. We're always growing. And in many times you get expansion, you're going to have tension. You're going to have moments of being stretched. You'll start to put more responsibility on your child because you want them to grow, right? At one point, you tell your child, hey, I want you to start to just brush your teeth, make your bed. And then eventually it's brush your teeth, make your bed, do your homework, you know, that kind of thing. And then it's those three things. Then it's get a job. Then it's get out, you know, whatever. It's I want you to expand, and so I want you to grow, right? So expansion causes tension. It's the state of being stretched. If you want something to grow, it's going to have to stretch. It's going to have to stretch. Come on, people. It's going to have to stretch. It's good. You're going to have to stretch something if you want it to grow. Expansion causes tension. It's just the way that it is. Chris and I, the other day, were at a restaurant. This is no joke. I really do this stuff, so be glad that you're not married to me if you're a woman, because Carissa, I have so much grace for her. But the other day, we're at this restaurant, and I'm always thinking of sermon illustrations. I'm always preparing, always thinking about it. And so we're standing in the middle of this restaurant, kind of where you go and get your table, you know, at the host area. And we got the kids coming in, you know, and we're like the family that no waiter or waitresses want, because they know that the table's going to be a wreck and a mess, you know, and they see all the kids coming in. And so we go in, and we're waiting for our table. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about the message, and I started telling Chris, I started thinking, you know, do you remember the day, baby, where we used to be able to get a high-top table in the bar area? I was like, do you remember the day we could just walk in and just, oh, no, we're good. We're just first come, first serve. We'll just go right over here to a high top. We're good. Thank you. Do you remember that? And so I was like, do you remember the day we should just do that, walk in, take our time, maybe have an appetizer here and go have dinner, and then maybe go to dessert somewhere else. It was just awesome. We could just freedom. Do you remember the day? And she's like, yeah, I remember the day. I was like, it was so good. I said, and then for some reason, I really did this. I grabbed my first daughter, Lillian, our six-year-old. I grabbed her, I said, and then we decided to do this. And I brought her in the middle, and I'm literally going through this illustration in the middle of the host set. And I said, then we decided to do this, and it was cute for a while. It was good. I mean, it was fun. It was, oh, it's amazing, you know, this is so cute. We get to share life. It's awesome. And then, no joke, my two-year-old was running around crazy while I'm going through this illustration. I said, and then we had that dude. And then this kid came, and what are we thinking? I said, and then we lost it, went to a whole nother level. And I walked around, and I grabbed Emery, our newborn, off of the bench who's on the car seat thing, and I put her in, I pull over. I said, and then Carissa, we're doing this now. Like, what's our problem? When are we going to stop? Like, this is crazy. And I started realizing, man, expansion causes tension. It stretches you. It's crazy, right? Like, they got special tables for us in the back. You know what I'm talking about? Like, for some reason, we're always in the back corner. Like, we know we're putting you people, right? The other day, listen, last night, JoJo, we were quoted like 40 minutes. Another four top came in front of us. They were quoted 20 minutes. And I'm thinking to myself, why in the world would you tell us 40 minutes and you tell them 20 minutes? Well, we got to put you in the back corner. No joke, last night, back corner again. We're always in the back corner. I know, man, it's terrible, but it's true. Expansion causes tension. Here's what else I've realized about expansion. Expansion is uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's not always comfortable to be stretched tight. Anytime you're stretched, it gets a little uncomfortable. Think about a person who wants to work out and get in shape. You're going to have to get a little uncomfortable, right? You're going to have to get up earlier. Maybe you have to go to do something else during your lunch hour. Maybe you're going to have to eat something different. Expansion is a little uncomfortable. Being stretched tight causes a little discomfort. Amen? It's true. Think about somebody who wants promotion. They want expansion. They want growth. They want to rise up in their company. They want to kind of make moves in their industry. They want expansion. But they're going to have to be willing to get a little uncomfortable, right? Because they're going to have to get up earlier. Maybe they're going to have to get off the recliner, stop watching ESPN, and go to work earlier. It's true. Or maybe they got to go to bed earlier so that way they can be more prepared in the morning, because expansion is a little uncomfortable. It causes you to do some uncomfortable things anytime you want to grow in any area of your life. If you're a young person in the room, pay attention to me, students. Listen to me. If you want to go to college and do great things, be athletes, grow up, be popular, be famous, and make all the money, all these kind of dreams that I know that you're probably thinking, I'm telling you now, you're going to have to be willing to get a little uncomfortable. In other words, you're going to have to do your homework now. You got to study more, right? You get a little uncomfortable because expansion is uncomfortable. In fact, some people never grow up because they were never willing to get uncomfortable. And all the parents in the room with 25-year-olds still living on their couch said amen. It's true. Yeah, it's true. Some people never grow up or they never mature because they were never willing to get uncomfortable. Some people never get into the shape they really want to be in because they're never willing to get uncomfortable. It's true. Expansion causes uncomfortable. Am I preaching good today? If I am, just clap, because that was so good. Thank you. Just feeling the energy, feeling the love. So good. Expansion is uncomfortable. The same is true in our relationship with God. In order for your faith to expand, it's going to require you to get stretch marks. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, it's going to cause moments of discomfort. I decided to do something for all my visual learners, any visual learners in the house like me, just visual people. I'm a very visual learner. I got like what I call a stretch mark chart, and I'll throw it up on the screen. This is the stretch mark chart. Everybody can look at the screens. That's beautiful how it's done. Stretch marks. These are what we're going to call stretch marks down here. At the very bottom, you'll notice the yellow line is a small stretch mark. And the stretch mark itself, just so you know, represents a faith capacity. It's the amount of faith that you have. So let's take the life of a believer. And the life of a believer is at the very bottom, the bottom line. And they decide one Sunday, one day, one Saturday, some moment in their life to make the decision to follow Jesus. They decide to take a step of faith on their journey. They check off the back of a connection card. And all of a sudden, they have now a little bit more faith capacity than they had before because they had to step out in faith. Maybe they decide to get baptized. Somebody decides to get baptized, and so they have a little bit more faith than they had before because they're deciding to trust in something they don't fully understand, but they've decided based on a message they heard, something happening inside of their heart that's prompting them to make a certain decision, and so they decide, I'm going to have a little faith capacity. I'm going to put some faith and trust in God, and so I'm going to start and begin stretch mark. And it's a little uncomfortable to check this off because somebody might actually call me, and somebody might actually reach out to me, or what if they make me reach my hand, or what if they walk forward? What are they going to do to me? All this stuff is going through their mind as they make decisions, but they decide to take the step of faith, get a little stretched, get a little uncomfortable, and make the decision. What if I get baptized and everybody is applauding me and everybody's staring at me as I go under the water? What is going to be kind of weird, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so what if I mess up again? And so all those kinds of things go through the minds of people, and all the while they're kind of getting uncomfortable. They're willing to get a little stretched, go in front of people, get baptized, and so their faith in God has grown. Is it making sense? This is good teaching. And then God's not comfortable with you staying there. God does not want you to stay here. God wants you to expand and to grow. And so what God will do is oftentimes nudge you to a little more uncomfortable zone. And so people maybe on the second line, the second stretch mark, they begin to say, you know what, I'm going to start showing up to church. I'm going to get uncomfortable, and I'm going to start going to church, and I'm going to wake up early, and I feel like we need to expand in our life and grow in our relationship with God, so we're going to start making this a regular habit in our lives, in our family. We're going to start this regular. And it's a little uncomfortable, because now we've got to give up our Sunday mornings. We used to wake up late and kind of take walks, but now we're going to have to go to church and that kind of a thing. And so it just gets a little uncomfortable, but God's saying, well, I want you to grow in your relationship with me, and so now you're going to have to increase a little bit, and as you do that, your faith capacity increases. Notice the chart. As your stretch marks increase, so does your faith capacity. This is the way it works. Think about another believer. So let's say they go to church for a little while, all things are good, and then God says, well, I'm not comfortable with you just attending church. I want you to increase your faith in me, and in case you didn't know, you have a gift inside of you that I want you to begin to use for me. You sure I got a gift? Yes, yes, I've given you a gift to use for my kingdom and the body of Christ to expand and reach those who don't know me. And so the person just decides, you know what? I'm going to check off Dream Team. I'm going to start using whatever it is that God has put inside of me for his kingdom. And so I'm going to get a little uncomfortable. I'm going to get stretched because now I got to arrive a little bit earlier. And now I got to walk around and smile at people when they come to church. And now I got to, you know, start to serve people. Now I got to start to take care of other people. Now I've got responsibilities in church. All the while, your faith in God is expanding. And then the next line, look at the next line. This is the next purple one on the top, the fourth one. This is for somebody now. They're going to church, right? They're serving, they're involved. They're reading their Bibles regularly, maybe at home, or they're praying more in their family. Their faith is expanding. All the while, they were willing to get a little uncomfortable from the very beginning, and each stage is a little more discomfort. And now this one is what I'll call a tither. I know some of you are like, that's crazy. I would never go there, right? But for some people, Some crazy lunatic people, right? They believe in this thing called the tithe. And they start to give 10% of their income. You're like, that's insane. I can't even think about it. I know. But for some people, they decide that God has called them and knows that God has said, listen, it's time for you to listen and do what I've called you to do and tithe 10% of your income to the local church. And their faith in God has increased so much that they say, everything that I own, everything that I have is from you. I actually believe that. And I believe when I give to you, you're going to meet every single one of my needs. I believe you called me to do this. I have no option but to give 10% of my income. And their faith in God just skyrockets and it bleeds over into their finances. Maybe they're on that fourth line. That's where they are. But for some people, maybe that's not where they are. That's okay. Some people are like, no, maybe I'll put a dollar in the bucket. Maybe I'll put a couple bucks. But eventually God says, no, I want you to start to trust me with all of your finances and put me first in your finances. Now, some people get there, and it's a little uncomfortable. This is uncomfortable. This is an uncomfortable conversation. We're talking about money. It's uncomfortable. I just told you, expansion is uncomfortable. It gets a little uncomfortable. But then eventually this top line kind of represents this fullness mature in Christ. This person who, they not only just tithe, they not only just go to church, they just give their whole life to Jesus. They're the people who would literally say, God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'll change jobs, I'll move to a different country, I'll sacrifice my life, I'll do whatever. In fact, some people go to martyrdom, right? They get killed for their faith. These are people at the very top that are just trying to reach the fullness measure of Christ. I'm just here to let you know today, God will never leave you down here. Never. You might want to stay down here. You might like your little comfort zone, your small little stretch mark, but God wants to increase your stretch mark. Some of you are like, I don't want stretch marks. Jesus, don't give me stretch marks. But God says, I'm going to give you stretch marks. Because I want your faith and trust in me to grow and to develop. It's just the way it is. It's uncomfortable and it's hard. And so in this series, here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about four stretch marks that God will often do or that you're going to need to expand your faith. Four stretch marks you will need to expand your faith. 1 Kings chapter 19, there's two men. One's named Elijah and one's named Elisha. Two different people, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is a prophet of God. He's a miracle worker, miracle performer. It's amazing. God has used him to do some incredible miracles. If you read all about it in 1 Kings, Elijah does some incredible miracles. He's a prophet of God. And in these time periods, they would look to men or look to people who would then hear from God. God would speak to them, and they would deliver the message to the people. This is what would be called to be a prophet. And Elijah is like this. He's this prophet of God, called by God, extraordinary man of faith. And Elijah is kind of his time is ending as a prophet. And so God tells him, I want you to go find a guy named Elisha. Elisha is going to become the next prophet of God. And so Elijah goes on this search and this journey to find this man named Elisha. He doesn't know Elisha, but he's going to come across Elisha. Here's what it says in 1 Kings 19. The writer writes it like this. So Elijah went and found Elisha. Everybody say Elisha. He said, I went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. And there were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing the 12th team. Leave it up for me for just a second. It says Elisha was simply just plowing a field. He's not in church. He's not reading his Bible. He's not kneeling next to his bed. He is plowing a field of oxen. This is all that he's doing. And the text goes in to tell us that there's 12 teams of oxen, which actually shows us that there's a little bit of wealth in his family. He's got a wealthy dad, a wealthy parent, a good business in the family. He's doing well. He's got a lot of financial income, resources coming in. And he's just minding his business, plowing a field of oxen. And in case you've ever thought you have a bad job, this is the view, or you got a bad view out your window. You know, you're in a cubicle or something, you got a bad view. This is Elisha's view. Can you imagine? Every single day, this is what you're behind, right? No pun intended. This is what you're behind. And he's just plowing a field behind this oxen. This is his daily job. This is what he's doing. And in the middle of this kind of time period, this moment, he's just kind of another daily routine, another day at the office, just another day on the job. God begins to do something inside of Elisha's life. And God begins to expand his faith. God is saying, Elisha, I want to do something in you, so I'm sending this boy named Elijah, and Elijah's going to come to you, because Elisha, it's time for your faith to expand in me. Today is the day. And Elisha has no idea. He's just plowing the field. Elijah shows up, and here's what the text says. Elijah goes over to him, and he throws his cloak across his shoulders and then walks away. A cloak is simply a piece of animal skin that represented somebody of authority of God. A cloak was like a mantle, something like a robe that would kind of cover an entire individual from the back of their shoulders, oftentimes down to their feet, and it would signify their authority in Christ and in God. It would signify that there's some kind of spiritual authority that God has appointed them and called them to. And Elisha would have known this. And at some point, he's behind this oxen. All of a sudden, this man, this prophet of God, has this robe on top of him, walks over, takes it off, and passes it to him. And in this moment, Elisha recognizes what this is. Think about it. God calls you all of a sudden and says, you are going to plant a church. You're next. You're preaching next Sunday. You're up. You're like, whoa, wait a second. What is this? Elisha, maybe in the very beginning of this, is kind of like, what is happening to me? You know, God is calling me to do something. He would have realized that something is happening spiritually in him, that God is calling him to do something. But he doesn't know what yet. He doesn't really understand this fully. He knows that God is passing a torch in this kind of prophetic world to maybe be a prophecy of God. But listen to me. Elisha does not fully understand what it's like to be a prophet. He knew what a prophet was, but he didn't know what it was like to be a prophet. Oftentimes your kids do that to you, parents, don't they? They try to judge you about your parenthood. And you say, if you ever knew what it was like to be a parent of you, you know? They know what a parent is, but they don't know what it's like to be a parent. Amen? That's true. And so Elisha would have known what a prophet was, but he wouldn't have understood the weight that a prophet had to carry. And so Elijah walks over, passes this cloak on top of him, and watch how Elisha responds to this calling. Immediately, Elisha left the oxen. He leaves his job immediately, and he runs over to Elijah, and he says, first, let me do something. Let me go kiss my mom and my dad goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elisha had no idea what it was going to be like to be a prophet. He did not understand the magnitude of what that calling was going to hold. He didn't understand all of the different things that he was going to have to be called to do. Moments of faith that he'd have to stand in front of millions of people and lead them, teach them. Miracles that God was going to call him to perform. Some of that we'll talk about later in the series as we study all about Elisha. We're going to see some amazing miracles that Elisha performed by the power of God. Elisha had no idea of the amount of faith this journey was going to require. And yet, in the moment that he's called, he responds and he runs after the one who's called them. God is using Elijah to speak something to Elisha. And so in really simple text, we could say that really it's Elisha chasing after Jesus. The moment Jesus calls him through Elijah, God says, I'm in. Or Elisha says, I'm in. Jesus, I'm in. I'll follow you. Here's what's really important to note. Write this down if you're taking notes. If you've got a phone on you, write this down. This is so important for so many of us to take this in and kind of absorb this today. You don't need to fully understand. You don't need to understand fully to fully obey. You don't need to understand fully to fully obey. This is a part of the stretch mark. This is when it gets uncomfortable for people. But I don't fully understand what it means to be a small group leader. That's okay. When God calls you to do that, open up your home to people, you just do it. You don't have to fully understand it. But I don't know what it fully theologically means to follow Jesus. I don't know every single scripture verse in the Bible. So how could I say that I'm going to follow Jesus when I don't fully understand? So many people try to do this. They try to fully understand before they fully obey. But Jesus says, this is not the way it operates in my kingdom. In my kingdom, we operate out of faith and trust in me. And so you have to move in faith, and then when you move in faith, I'll respond accordingly. You don't need to understand fully to fully obey. And so many people want to fully understand before they fully obey. So true, but God says, that's not how it operates in my kingdom. And Elisha just moves. He just responds to the calling, the nudge, the whisper in his heart. He doesn't understand it, but he moves instead because he knows that God is calling him to do something. When we launched this church, just so you know, I got one phrase, you'll make it. God told me one phrase, you'll make it. I don't know how, I don't know when, I don't know how many, I don't know where. All I know is he said, you'll make it. That's it. And then at some point, you just have to move in faith. You don't have to understand fully to fully obey. So Elisha goes back home, tells his mom, tells his dad goodbye. I've got to go somewhere. God's calling me to do something in my life. He gives up his security. He gives up his financial job. You say, that's unwise. It's foolish to ignore the voice of God. And Elisha's told, it's time to go. But my job, I don't care about your job. I'm your provider. It's time to go. So he goes back and he tells his dad, Dad, I'm out. I'm leaving. God's called me to do something, and I've got to keep moving forward to whatever it is that God is calling me to do. And he leaves without hesitation. And just to ensure that he never goes back to his job, watch what Elisha does. Verse 21. So Elisha returns to his house, and he slaughters his oxen. And he uses the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast the flesh. So he burns the plows and the cows. Say he burned the plows and the cows. He burned the plows and the cows. And he passes around the meat of this cow, and he turns it around to the townspeople, and he hands it over to him, and he gives it to him. And then he went on to become Elijah's assistant. I love that. He wasn't even becoming the boss yet. He wasn't even becoming the king yet. Actually, if you think about it, he was once passed the robe of authority. Then the robe of authority was taken from him, and now he's moving forward just as an assistant. It's not a title that he's seeking. He's just seeking whatever it is that God wants for him and whatever timing that is. Look at the heart of Elisha. He's not seeking the title position. He's not seeking the prophecy of God. He moves on as just an assistant. He says, God, I'm just going to respond to whatever it is you're calling me to do. And he slaughters any chance of going back to doing whatever could possibly distract him or take him from his calling. Elisha says, I want to put myself in a position, listen to me, that forces me to do what God calls me to do. In fact, I think Elisha would have said this. I've got one word I'm going to live by from now on. I got one word. How's it all going to end up, Elisha? How are you going to get paid? How are you going to get money? How are you going to go? Where's it going to grow? When's it going to happen? Where's it going to take? All these, I don't know. I'm called to do one thing. Obey. That's all I got. So many times people want to challenge you with questions. Well, if you really believe in Jesus, then explain to me the resurrection of the Christ. Explain to me the Trinity. Try to go ahead. You explain to me the Trinity. You want to follow Jesus? Oh, good for you. Tell me about the Holy Spirit and how that whole thing happened. Well, who created the heavens and earth? How did it actually happen? Was it 24 hours a period? Was it 24 years? Was it 24,000 years? How long have we been along? Starts to chat. I don't know. You go find out. I'm just trying to obey. I don't know. I don't have it figured out. I'm just trying to obey. That's all I got. I don't know. Well, who do you think you are to follow Jesus? Look, you were just out last night. You know what you did? How could you? I'm just trying to obey. Leave me alone for a second. I'm just trying to obey. I don't understand fully yet, but I know who spoke to me, so I'm just trying to obey. I think he made one play, and I want everybody to kind of adopt this. It's a really easy statement. My play is obey. Everybody's just saying, doesn't that sound good? My play is obey. My play is obey. My play is obey. My play is obey. I don't know. Why in the world would you start giving money to the, I don't know. I'm playing obedience. I'm just playing obeying. I don't know. I'm just obeying the play. I'm trying to obey. Leave me alone. I'm putting the money in because my play is obey. I was told to go and sign up and be a part of this church. I don't know. I'm going to Next Move. Why are you going to Next Move, baby? I don't know. My play is obey. I'm just trying to do what I'm told to do. So many times, you just got to use this statement in your life with people. I'm just trying to obey. I don't know. I'm just trying to follow Jesus. So many people come to me as the leader of the church, and they, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? Why aren't you done this? Why don't you start that? Start this ministry. Start to do this. Leave me alone. I'm just trying to obey. Just leave me alone. I'm just making my play. Amen. Just making my play. My play is obey. I'm just trying to follow what Jesus is trying to do in my life. And Elisha moves forward just trying to move in obedience. 4 stretch marks you will need to expand your faith. That's what this whole series is all about. The first stretch mark, just the one for the today. That's all we're going to do is one today. Fully obeying before you fully understand. Fully obeying before you fully understand. If you want to expand your faith in Jesus, as your faith and your trust in Christ grows, it will require you in these moments to fully obey before you fully understand. If you want to expand your faith in God, it is a promise to you. I will stand on this promise forever. It will require you to fully obey in moments before you fully understand. God will begin to nudge your heart during times of worship and singing songs. And you'll go, man, I feel like I want to just kind of let loose and start singing. I don't know, God, you sure you want? That's a little uncomfortable. People are going to think I'm weird. I don't know. It's kind of, and you got to have this wrestling match going on in your mind. And then, I don't know. I'm just tired. My play is obey. I don't know, Jesus, whatever. I'm willing to look. Okay, everybody see me. I'm good. I'm singing. I don't know. I'm just trying to obey whatever it is God's telling me to do. It's just true. I feel like God's telling me to go out and buy a Bible today. I don't know. I don't even know what the Bible says. My play is obey. My play is obey. I don't have to understand everything fully before fully obeying. I don't know. If you want to grow in your faith in God, it'll require moments like this. I promise you. So don't come to me ever. Feels so good, so freeing for me as a pastor to say this. Don't come to me looking for full understanding before you make decisions. I'm going to ask you one question. Is God calling you to do it? I think so. Go. Obey. Well, I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know. I'm just telling you to go. Do whatever it is that God's calling you to do. Amen. Fully obey before you fully understand. And it's uncomfortable. It stretches us because we want to fully understand before we fully obey. It's a stretch mark. This is how it operates in God's kingdom. If you want to expand your faith in God, it'll require you to fully obey before you fully understand. So true. Many people in my life, including myself, we're wrapping up here. Eric, if just so you know, we're going to be wrapping up in just a moment. My calling for me personally, just kind of calling to God, I didn't fully understand the implications that one day I'd be preaching in a church. I mean, when I was a kid growing up, a teenager, I didn't know that God was going to be one day calling me to plant something called Brave Church in Odessa, Florida. I didn't know there was an Odessa, Florida. I didn't know this. I didn't fully understand the implications of what it meant to follow Jesus. And when I did what many of you have done, and I just checked off my little check mark on the back of a connection card, I didn't know that God one day was gonna call me to preach to people. I was just trying to get to heaven. I didn't know. I didn't fully understand what all of it implicated, what it meant. I just knew I was supposed to follow Jesus. And then eventually the stretch mark increased. I was supposed to go to church, and I was supposed to read the Bible. Then I was supposed to start mopping floors in a kid's classroom. That's what I did. Then I was supposed to move out of state 1,500 miles with a truck and $300 in my bank account and leave my job and put everything by a garbage can. And I did. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't fully understand. My promise to you is you won't either. There's no guarantees that you're going to understand everything. That's not the call. God says, no, just fully obey before you fully understand. This is faith. This is how you grow and expand in your faith. One of my mentors in life, before he followed Jesus, he left the state that he was living in. God called him to a whole different state. He had a girlfriend, a lot of money, a dad who had promised him an income to get married and a kind of a promised life if he had married his daughter. He gave it all up, moved out of state to follow Jesus. The same is true. You're no different. You're no different. God's going to call you to do things. It's going to stretch you, and it's uncomfortable. But this is how he grows and expands us in our faith. It's just the way it works. It's the way that it is for us. It's the way it is for you. It's the way it is for me. There's no difference. A child, think about it. My daughter prays. Your child maybe prays. They don't understand the theological views of the world. They're just doing what you're telling them to do. And God calls you to do the same thing. For some of us, maybe in this room, God is calling you to get baptized next week. You know who you are. And you're questioning it because you don't fully understand the implications of it. My encouragement to you is just fully obey. Don't try to fully understand all the implications, what goes into that. All you got to know is that Jesus died for your sins and the only way to heaven is through him. Now you know it, so now there's no reason for you not to get baptized. You mean I don't have to know? No, you don't have to know anything else. You don't have to be perfect. No, I don't have to be perfect. What if I, well, I don't know. Stop having the argument in your mind. You don't have to understand everything to just fully obey what God's telling you to do. How do I know if it's God? Why are you questioning God so much? It's inside of you. Just ask yourself, is that God talking to you? Yes, okay, God. Yes, God, done. So many times we go home. Notice whenever Elisha, one last second. Did you notice in the story, Elisha left? Can you go back to that verse for me? I'm going to preach on this for just 1 second. Can I do some preaching on you real quick? Listen to this. Go back to the verse that says Elisha left. Listen to me, people. Stay with me for just 1 second. Remember how Elisha got called by Elijah? Remember this? And he throws the cloak on top. He doesn't understand the whole thing. And Elisha just leaves his job and takes off running. Church people, especially all you church people, do you notice what he did not do? He didn't pray about it first. Some of you have been praying about something for like a year, and the answer was a year ago. I don't know. Let me pray about that first. I don't know. Should I start giving? I don't know. I'm going to start praying about it. God's been telling me to serve and volunteer. God's been telling you to serve since he was on earth. Remember this whole thing about serving people, washing people's feet? You think I should volunteer? Let me pray about it, see what I can fit in my schedule. I'll get back to you in 6 months. I'm going to pray about it. You ever had somebody, hey, can you think you pray? Yeah, I'm going to pray for you, but I'm going to go pray about what I should pray for you. Really, people? Just pause and pray with them then. It's so funny, man. People get so wrapped up in this church stuff. Isn't it true? If you've been around church people long enough, you notice this stuff. And some of you, I'm so happy because you don't know what I'm talking about. That just means you're not too crazy in the church world. But if you were in the church world enough, you're going to see this stuff, I'm telling you. And you should slap people when they say that to you. I'm going to go pray about it. I'm going to pray about it. Hey, just ask God right now. Anyways, that's a whole nother message. All right, here we go. I'm sorry. It's so true. It so happens. It doesn't happen in our church world so much. It happens. I'm going to go pray about it. I'm going to pray about serving, loving people. I'm going to pray about giving to the homeless guy first. Maybe I should. Walk up to the next homeless guy you see who doesn't have anything and just look at him in his face. You know, I've been thinking about giving to you, but I'm going to pray about it first. I'll get back to you in a month. Should I give to the people in need? I haven't heard anything yet, so I'll just wait till I hear something. It's already written. Maybe God is calling you to get baptized next week and you're thinking, I don't understand fully, but you just need to jump in and fully obey. Maybe your God is saying you got to begin to pray in the middle of your marriage. Seriously, for some of you in your marriages, you don't pray at all out loud together. You don't do that. And you know who you are. I don't know who you are, but you do. But God is nudging you to start putting Christ at the center of your marriage. And you say, well, I don't even know what to pray. Well, just start talking to God. Just, God, I feel like we want us to start praying to you. Amen. Good job. Next day, come back to it again. God, we're just putting you at the center of our marriage. Is that good, baby? Yep, that's amen, done. Center of our marriage. I don't know. I'm just going to start to fully obey before I fully understand. I'm going to obey without delay. Maybe he wants you to expand your faith in him and start serving in the church. Maybe it's talking to somebody in your office. I don't know what it is. Just learn to fully obey before you fully understand. Imagine what your life would be like for just a second if you began to fully obey God before you fully understood. Just imagine what your life would be like if you began to fully obey God every single time he called you to do something before you fully understood. Who knows what God would do in your life? Today I want you to know this is what it takes to expand your faith in him. It'll require you to fully obey before you fully understand. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word is a blessing. God, it shapes us, it directs us, it moves us, it changes us. And it is now in this room, this message, I know your word has changed hearts of your people. It's your word that changes it. It's not mine, it's yours. When we open up our hearts to you, open up our minds to you, God, you speak. And today, God, I know that you're speaking in the life of somebody in this room. I know that you're speaking to people, God, and moving them, nudging them forward to fully obey something they don't fully understand. If that's you today, I just pray you respond to Jesus. Jesus, I'm going to respond. Jesus, I'm going to obey. Just whisper to him, obey. Just the word, obey. Pray in my marriage, obey. Pray with my child, obey. Show my wife a little bit more love, like a Christ-centered husband would do. Obey. Just going to start obeying. I don't know what it means yet, but I'm just going to start obeying. Maybe it is giving. Maybe it is giving. You don't give at the moment. It's kind of a struggle for you. Okay, God, I'm going to start to obey. What is it I'm supposed to give? What is this I'm supposed to do? I'm just going to obey. I'm willing to obey. I'm going to jump in. I'm going to start inviting somebody. I'm going to jump into the next move. I don't know. I'm just going to stick around. I'm going to come back next week. Maybe for some of you, that's just the whisper. Just come back next week. I know I should be here. I think I'm supposed to be in this church. I don't know why yet, but I'm supposed to be a part of this church. I don't know what it means for me yet. I'm just going to jump in. I'm just going to obey. Whatever it is that God is calling you to do, just simply say obey. Just whisper that. Just obey. God, I'm going to obey. Father, today we give you our lives. Maybe today you want to follow Jesus for the first time in your life. If that's you, just simply say this to him. Jesus, I want to follow you. I want to make you the Lord of my life. I want to give you my life. I don't understand it, but I'm going to give my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we celebrate the people who maybe prayed that for the first time today?